A Tricky Kid Media original presentation distributed by iHeartRadio. Hey, all you fans, marks, smarks, jobbers, cheerers, and jeerers. Get ready for an exciting bout of no-holds-barred fun. I'm Dana French, and this is Wrestling. Welcome to an exciting addition to the Tricky Kid Radio Podcast Network, where we take on all corners in the world of professional wrestling. We will be talking with legends from the past, the best talent of today, and rising stars of the future. Don't miss weekly post-show analysis, guest commentary, and live remotes from the matches with your host, a veteran of calling the action ringside, Roy Turner.
Welcome to this week's edition of This Is Wrestling. I'm your host, as always, Roy Turner. What a great show we have this week. We're going to be discussing at length Tales from the Top Rope.
Evening with Kevin Von Erich.
Kind of like a little VH1 Storytellers here in Dallas to a sold-out crowd at Majestic Theater, hosted by legendary sportscaster Dale Hansen, as well as David Manning, a longtime world-class alumni. We have tickets to give away to TSW Wrestling December 16th in Addison, Texas. It's going to be a great, great card. Yours truly will be doing color commentary as well as ringside interviews. We also have tickets to our sponsor we want to thank, Red Dog Retro Arcade. I've got about six pairs of tickets for free entry there. Go to blackdogpizza.com. You can find out more. Joining me is world-class championship wrestling historian Lance Peterson.
Fantastic to be here. You picked the right subject for me. I was there at the Sportatorium every week.
That would make you how old?
I'm about to be 54.
It was great to see him. He looks great. He's still lean, running around the stage barefoot, and it's a lot of fun. At the same time, I also found the show to be weird as hell. Talk to me about your takeaway from that show.
Fantastic. We haven't seen Kevin in the last few years. He kind of disappeared off social media. When he came down the aisle with that energy to Stranglehold, it was exciting.
Manning and Hansen talked for a good 15, 20 minutes, right? But even before Kevin came out.
Kevin has always been guarded, but he opens up a little more than he used to. But Kerry, he went into how likable he was, stories about cranking each other, Kerry being the gullible one. I got more out of it than I expected.
Was there anything you were hearing for the first time?
David Manning discussed the hangman spot on July 4th of 1985. We just don't hear them talk like that. The story of Kevin never meeting Roger Staubach, the whole audience gasped at that, because growing up here, them doing so many telethons with Easter Seals and not meet Roger Staubach.
It's strange, doesn't it?
It makes you wonder if he did meet him, that concussion situation.
Where are you sitting at the Majestic? The third row. Okay. I was in the front row, but up in the balcony. All signs pointed he was going to do the old Sportatorium entrance with Stranglehold. I wanted to be above it. Filmed him walking through the crowd, and people are still pulling at him and girls trying to kiss him. Kevin Von Erich's coming out like it's at the freaking Sportatorium in 82. It was so great. I was very emotional. I was very excited. At times I was at church, there was a lot of amen, very conservative Christian vibe happening, but also at a bar. Those same people going hallelujah are kicking back Jacks and Cokes, and females making inappropriate comments.
I understand your point. It's an important part of his life.
While we take a short commercial break, you should too, from trying to get yourself over. And since you're listening to this, you probably have disposable income. So let our great sponsors tell you how to put it to good use.
A24 presents, coming up, The Iron Claw. If you grew up in Texas, or even if you didn't, but if you've been around wrestling, everybody knows the name Von Erich, especially when it comes to wrestling and wrestling fans. And what an incredible story. The highs and unfortunately profoundly lows have all come together in a major motion picture by A24 called The Iron Claw. That was their finishing maneuver. And it's going to hit theaters a few days before Christmas on December 22nd. You can pre-order now at Fandango.com. And we will be down at the premiere on, and yours truly will be walking the red carpet along with my TSW alumni on November the 8th, and very looking forward to seeing this film. We've done a lot of great previews to talk about it and get you all ready and excited for it. But get your tickets today at Fandango.com. It's The Iron Claw. All right, wrestling fans, I tell you right now, TSW is the hottest indie promotion on the wrestling game. You do not want to miss the next show. It's going down December 16th at TSW Studios in Addison, Texas. Yours truly will be there calling the action ringside, doing ringside interviews, meeting with the fans. Log on to TSWplus.com. And while you're there, about sponsorship opportunities, packages currently being offered. Ringside, you get logo branding, ad placement on the TSW app, as well as two VIP tickets to any of our live events. And several mentions on our TSW social media platforms. And don't forget the great TSW merch. The heavyweight, that's logo placement on select marketing materials, 30-second spot to air during the live event, and one 30-second ad per episode, five to any taping, including meet and greet with the wrestlers, social media, the works. And, of course, the champion, the heavyweight champion. Prominent logo placement on all marketing materials, event banners, ring skirt, and on the LED wall. 30-second spots, feature segment, and two 30-second ads per episode. Logo on prominent banner on app home screen for 60 days. That's 2 months, man. And, of course, the VIP experience of 10 VIP tickets to the taping, including the meet and greet with the wrestlers, and featured mentions on all TSW social media platforms and mentions twice a week. 16 mentions in total. Get on that. It's a great, great sponsorship. Be a part of the largest growing independent wrestling promotion in North America. TSW, Texas Style Wrestling. I will see you December the 16th. Hey guys, while we take a break, I wanted to tell you something about my favorite venue in Texas and maybe the world over. If you have never been to the Texan Theater in Greenville, which is it's, you know, a little ways north on your way to Oklahoma. It's I guess it's about an hour and a half maybe north of Dallas. It is the greatest venue in the world. The proprietor, owner, and just all-around badass, Barbara Horan, puts on one of the most unique experiences you will ever have in your life. She approaches things from a very different business model that I think the whole world should embrace, and we would all be better for it. It's just this amazing experience where you get to see one of your favorite artists up close in a gorgeous venue. And dinner is included, unlimited drinks are included. You know, she treats her staff so well. They're not getting the whatever the $2 an hour and relying on tips thing. She takes good care of them. Literally none of them have had to suffer throughout the pandemic, thankfully. Barb's just a great gal, a great person, very creative, and just one of my favorite people. And so if you're ever in Greenville or even anywhere near Dallas, make a point to visit the Texan Theater in Greenville. And as you know, we're working on our King's X film project. You know, as you know, I'm a filmmaker myself, and so we'll be should be talking about that maybe in the context of Tribeca soon. But we will be having the film along with a live performance with King's X there at the Texas Theater as soon as we can get this sucker done. So once again, Texan Theater in Greenville, check it out. On.
What's up? It's everyone's favorite wrestler, the Glamour, Mariah May, and you're listening to This Is Wrestling with Roy Turner.
Anytime Kevin discusses Terry Gordy. It's so touching and wonderful. And he wanted to make sure that Gino and Chris were thought of on that same level.
Probably the most pivotal moment, arguably, in the world of world-class championship wrestling on when the Freebirds turned on the Von Erichs. And
I just turned 13 when the cage door match. So it was perfect for me.
Slammed the door on Kerry's head.
Terry Gordy, Christmas 82, which led to the huge 80. 83 was magical.
I grew up in Arkansas, and we moved here in 87. I'm about 5 years younger. I was a massive Mid-South fanatic. Get turned on to world class around late 82. Only 8 years old. My friend Tommy Woodward, he lived across the street. In order to see world class, you had to have cable television. I grew up extremely poor. Sometimes they would run these specials and we'd have cable and MTV for 6 months. Some of the most magical moments I cherish are going over to Tommy's house on Saturday nights to watch the 2 hour world class block from 8 to 10. What are your memories of those Saturday nights?
In Dallas, we had the 2 hour show on channel 11. That is different from the syndicated shows on the WWE network. Filmed on Monday nights and aired the following Saturday when the angle happened. Mark Lawrence was the host. He sold the house shows, all the spot shows, all the house shows. Friday night was the sport. Bill Mercer on 39 was syndicated. It on delay. We're so lucky some of those main events are out there because they are fantastic, especially the big Star Wars shows from Tarrant County Convention Center.
Right. In Little Rock, on Saturday nights in 82 to, let's say, 84, from 8 to 10, what was I seeing?
I believe you were seeing Channel 11, from Will Rogers Coliseum with Mark Lawrence.
I can remember them seeing the sportatorium.
That Channel 11 show, it seems like it probably did make it up there to Arkansas. Unlike okay. Mid-South, that didn't make it to Dallas for a long time.
Seeing cable television and the Von Erichs and television ads that were not local to me was really my first awareness that there was a bigger world out there. Texas represented this magical land. My mother eventually married a man from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he knew how obsessed I was with the Von Erichs. And he would come and visit my mom. He would swing by the sportatorium and bring merch to me in Little Rock. I'm this freaking poor kid in a trailer park, but I had this direct line to the merch booth at the sportatorium. I never got to see the Von Erichs wrestle in person because they, at least to my knowledge, they never came up. I know Kevin made a couple of appearances in Mid-South. We lived in an apartment complex. Tommy lived across the street in a house, and the courtyard area in our apartment complex was the social center. My dad and I were out there just tossing a football. And here comes Tommy, Flair, Kerry at the David Von Erich Memorial.
84 Texas Stadium.
I would have been 10 and he 14. And he was running like there was an emergency to come to tell me that Kerry Von Erich had won the heavyweight title. Probably won it 2 weeks prior. And that news was just now getting to us. We're trying to be all tough and like crying, literally, because we loved him so much. It meant so much to us that this did happen.
I was a magazine head. My family owned a grocery store, so I had the magazines.
Oh, wow. Nice. Magazines. Nice. I had those too. We were poor, but I had the magazine. I very much enjoyed the time I have spent speaking with Manning. He does have a reputation for not always being 1,000% in terms of, I don't know, I feel like he gets going with stories and he just starts adding things. That story about Kerry coming out at a Rush concert was 100% bullshit.
I know he hosted the Texas Jam. He was booed when he came out. The girls were aging out. World class went downhill because the teenage girls were moving past it. David Manning, I teased, he's got to get his shit in.
Wasn't he accused of embezzling money from World Class?
There's some smoke there. Yeah, I didn't hear money. It was tape syndication. There was a huge falling out with him and Fritz when they had the big Kerry tribute show at 93. For years, there was a big riff, but Kevin and David are good.
But I'll say this, the show would have suffered greatly without Manning. He's a performer. I don't think Dale Hansen is the wrestling historian that you are, and I think he was learning a lot. Manning was getting such great responses and laughter that you take that with his own ego And at times, even though he was a great benefit, but at times it was like he was also taking the show away from Kevin.
He was there to keep it going. But once in a while, they would say, do you want to tell this story? Or Dale Hansen surprised me. He let them talk. I was pleased with that.
I did enjoy it very much. The show was very brief, but not nearly as long as I thought it was going to be.
It was short. Could have gone 15 more minutes. Those quick questions at the end.
I don't want to end on a bummer, but one way that my take from that show, Kevin does not come off as an intellectual, a little cringy at times. People don't realize it's no longer 1987. They're in this mental bubble where they haven't changed in terms of believing the 80s MTV dream, believing that that shit's real.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
The moment for me that was such a car crash, Hansen was waiting to pick his moment to ask about the death of his brothers. There's never going to be a right time for this. He decided to pull the trigger on it. And right as he's winding up, that's when Kevin stands up and goes, oh, the deaths of my brothers. It was the worst fucking time thing. And Dale knows it. It wasn't anybody's fault. He finishes his sentence as Kevin is in mid-bend. And there's this weird pause, like the record had skipped. And everybody is looking at who just walked in. Painful. It makes my skin crawl. And Dale's sitting there going, oh, my God, what the fuck did I just do? I could not have picked a worse moment. I know Dale, whether he's willing to admit it or not, was disappointed by this dismissive thing. Hansen asked Manning, how do you deal with that kind of level of loss? And Manning delivered, in my opinion, equivalent to what we call in the wrestling business, a cheap pop. His response, having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and everybody, hey, you could see Hansen going, that's all well and good, but I'd like a real answer.
We know Kevin's religious values.
Hansen knew if he had asked Kevin that, that would have been the expected answer. I think he was expecting to get something less celestial. For Manning,
family got him through it. He said that before.
Where I had to take exception. The anti-mask thing, the pushback on that came from the conservative Christian thing. This is real and we need to protect. You can get sick. Protect yourself. That's all I'm saying. For some reason, it became this civil liberty thing when he mentioned, I'm not going to wear a mask. There's people that look up to you. And that is harmful. The personal choice. But he's in a position where he's literally dismissing it. And I took exception.
I hadn't thought about it since that night. You do make sense. People have family members that are susceptible, whether you think it's a real thing or not. You need to protect your family.
Ross and Marshall said they've seen the film and expressed they didn't get it right, but it looks good. We don't really have a problem with it. What do you think they're saying there?
The private scenes are going to be make-believe. People aren't going to do the research that Kevin didn't have anything to do with it. It's Hollywood.
I thank you so much for joining us today. Let's remind everybody once again, where can they find you on the interwebs?
So it's Lance Peterson at SMU Heavyweight on Twitter. I'm at Booking the Territory, a podcast, and you can see the collection I've acquired. I put it all up there. Roy, this has been such a pleasure to be on here.
We'll remind everybody, December 16th at Addison TSW Studios. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great night of action. Maddie Rinkowski and Roche Chanel as Bougie Reality. Tim Storm. I'm your host, as always, Roy Turner. Check us out on This Is Wrestling on Twitter under DJ Tricky Kid. Once again, I'm your host for Lance Peterson. I'm Roy Turner. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Ring the bell. That does it for us this week. We hope you had a slamming good time, and be sure to join us next week for more in-ring action. This has been a presentation of Tricky Kid Media Originals, distributed by iHeartRadio, created and directed by Roy Turner, edited and mastered by Marcus Miller, theme music by The Buckpats, original score by Jocelyn Hunt, artwork by Antora Sandy, marketing and PR by Francesca Miles. Tricky Kid Radio is hosted by Roy Turner with introductions by me, Dana French. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week.